Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Coast to Coast podcast. There's nothing quite like a good ghost story to get the blood pumping and raise the hair on the back of your neck. And if you become a Coast Insider, you'll never run out of campfire material again. From the infamous Amityville haunting and the spooky story of Robert the Haunted Doll to poltergeists and EVPs, Coast Insider ought to be called Ghost Insider since there are so many great ghost programs available to subscribers. So head on over to coasttocoastam.com and become a Coast Insider today.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Former professor of English composition, an artist, a writer, practicing witch, Harold Roth is among the foremost authorities on plants within the modern occult community. For the past 15 years, he has owned and operated Alchemy Works. That's an online store focused on herbal magic, where he crafts and sells potions and magical oils and things like that. His book, The Witching Herbs, has been in the works for a decade, and it's out now. Harold, welcome to the program. I'm looking forward to this tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
How did you become a witch?
I became a witch by basically being interested in gardening and growing plants, and then I started looking at the folklore behind them, and I found that a lot of them were used for witchcraft. I had been interested in the cult way before that, like when I was a teenager, I read tarot cards and stuff, but I hadn't really done anything with it much, and this was, 20 years later or more that I started gardening, and I could just see that these things, these plants, were more than just a material object. So I started working with them. That's basically how I started.
Did your parents kind of shy you away from this? Did they try to push you away from witchcraft when you were younger?
Yeah. My mom, I always read a lot, and I started bringing home books about palmistry and things like that when I was a young teenager, and she told me not, you know, that it was just garbage. She didn't tell me it was going to go to hell or anything. She just said, it's just garbage. But I didn't care.
Well, and let's let everybody know that witchcraft doesn't mean you are evil, that you're a Satanist, that you're trying to do people in, right?
Right. I mean, some people are trying to do people in.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then
but people of all persuasions are trying to do people
in. Yeah, exactly.
So when you got involved in this, did you do it on your own? Did you find covens? What did you do?
I did do it on my own for quite a while, and then I opened my shop because I originally was just going to sell seeds because I always had too many, right? But right away, I started meeting other witches through the shop, and then it just expanded from there. It was really great. I never joined a coven myself. I know people who are, you know, active in their covens, but I never joined a coven or a group. I just never been a group person, but that's just me.
And we're going to get through these 13 essential plants that you believe are for a magical garden. Now, how do we know they are? Did you pick them? Did somebody else pick them? Where'd they come from?
Historically been used in various types of witchcraft in different cultures, and basically that's why I chose them. Some of them are kind of standards, like mandrake and belladonna, henbane. You know, I think everybody has probably heard about witches using those. But the other ones are just more that historically they were commonly grown in anybody's herb garden, but witches already also had other uses for them.
Are they used in spells is primarily?
Yeah. Yeah, they're used in spells, different kinds. You can make things from them that would be useful in spells or useful in some kind of pagan practice that helps you better unite with the natural world.
Do you ingest these or do you just burn them? What do you do with them?
Most people probably wouldn't. Well, you certainly wouldn't be ingesting belladonna. Most people would be using them to, say, be a part of a powder or an incense or put it in a charm bag, or that the plant actually provides little things that you can, like henbane makes these nifty little cauldron-shaped pods that can be used, like you can, when they dry, you can stuff them with incense and use them for specific spells. So they could be some kind of material thing that the plant makes besides the way we typically think of an herb where you harvest the leaves and then use the leaves.
Harold, didn't the Wizard of Oz kind of railroad people's thoughts about witches?
I don't think so.
You know, when the Wicked Witch, with the Wicked Witch and all that, you don't think?
Oh, she is like a big mascot with witches.
Is she really?
Oh, yeah.
They love her?
It's funny. I mean, it's with a sense of humor. So, there are witches who deliberately wear striped socks, you know, or striped stockings. Remember, she had those red and white stockings. Oh, well, when her sister was hit by the house. It's kind of an affectionate mascot. That's what I've heard.
Interesting take there. Now, let's get into, there are, people would say, good witches and bad witches, right?
Yes, and I think that's true to some extent. I mean, there are people who seem to really focus on negative things. They're basically just negative people, from what I can tell. And they're always, you know, taking offense and putting curses on people. But most witches that I have known are just like everybody else in the sense that they generally have a positive attitude and they want to do things to protect themselves, to grow abundance, to, you know, get blessings on whoever. And sometimes they might need to do a curse or get somebody out of their life. But that's pretty much it. They don't go around doing bad stuff.
Well, and the person they want to get out of their life generally is a bothersome evil person. Is he not or she not?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, like it could be somebody. I've heard about people doing curse work on, say, for instance, someone in their community who'd committed rape or incest or was violent and they weren't able to get help from the authorities.
And they knew the person was stone cold guilty, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this would be often, either this had happened to them themselves or to a close friend or relative. And then basically most of the time what people do is what's called a binding spell, and it keeps, the point of it is not to, you know, kill the person or anything like that. It's to keep them from doing anything.
Right. Now, some people would say, hey, wait a minute. In our society, they're innocent until proven guilty. How would you react to that? As a witch, and somebody asks you to put a spell on somebody that they're convinced did some harm to people, but they never got convicted.
Well, personally, I...
So in the eyes of the law, they're not guilty.
Right. If it's me personally, I look at it like a dangerous dog. You know, a dangerous dog doesn't have to bite you for you to put up a fence or to avoid them or whatever.
Right.
But the other thing is, when somebody has come to me and said, this person did this and such and all these things, then usually what I do is tell them how to do spell work, because you never really know if what they're saying is the whole story. So, I mean, I know plenty of people who do spell work for hire, and they have to make their own judgment call on whether the person, not so much telling the truth, but how much of the story is missing, and that you have to put that in yourself and kind of read between the lines with what the person is saying, so you have the full picture. But generally, if somebody comes to a witch and asks for help, they're not doing it just to get in somebody's face.
Right.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.